Okay, you're recording.
Okay. It is 8:34 and we will call this meeting to order. Thank you all for joining us today. Please remember to mute or turn off your electronic devices. Please note that we have Mark Harris here from the Attorney General's office. And I would like to read the mission statement of the Arizona Veterinary Board. The Veterinary Board protects the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, as well as the welfare of animals by enforcing the licensing standards prescribed by statute for the licensing and regulation of veterinarians, veterinary technicians, veterinary premises, and animal crematories. We have Dr. James do the roll call. Oops. And now I'm like, Victoria, do you have a roll call, please?
We can just spread around the room.
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Ms. Gerger?
Here.
Right now I can't remember everyone's name.
Dr. Mosley?
Here.
And Greg. Dr. Byrne?
Present.
And, sorry. I'm like, now I can't. Ms. Frost?
Yeah.
And then your son. And myself is here. And we are missing Dr. Wright.
Right.
Okay. So we are going to start with our section number two, the initial investigative review and action on the following cases. We are starting with number seven, which is 2427, in regards to Jennifer McGill, CBT. Tracy can read the summary.
Yes, I apologize. That's with Jacqueline McGill, case 2427.
Oh, okay.
And this is a revisit from last month. You guys attended this matter to speak with Ms. McGill again because at the August 16th, 2023 meeting, the board voted to open investigation with respect to respondent's conduct after reviewing documents submitted by an anonymous source. The respondent was advertising veterinary service to publicly owned animals, including wellness exams and vaccinations. And Ms. McGill had presented some new materials where she has now amended her website, excluding the vaccines and wellness exams, and then also her advertising. She has now altered that to exclude some of those services as well. But she is present to speak to the board if you have any questions.
Okay, sounds good. If you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here again today.
Yes.
And I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board, and then Nikki could jump in after that if she has any questions.
So good morning. I'd first like to start by thanking all of you for allowing me the opportunity to come back and present the changes I have made to my marketing materials, in particular my website and the published advertisement that had initially been sent to the board. Previous to last month's meeting, I had already removed the offering of vaccinations from my website, as well as contacted the publisher of my advertisement to have vaccinations and exams removed from the publication, which will be reflected in the new publication coming out later this week. Upon returning home from last month's meeting, I removed the wellness exams from my offered services and added a caveat to the medical assist service that a treatment plan, discharge instructions, or direct instructions to me from the pet's veterinarian is required. In addition to this, I have also added a section on my website referring people to Dr. May's website if they are in need of vaccinations, wellness exams, etc. If they believe their animal is experiencing an emergency, to Yavapai Emergency Animal Hospital, and provide both their phone number and address, as well as a phone number for Central Arizona Equine if someone is needing a large animal vet. Again, I appreciate the opportunity you gave me to make these changes and hope that by my doing so shows I never meant to intentionally violate any statutes that govern the profession and proves that going forward, I have no intention or desire to be in violation. Thank you for giving me this continuance and for your time today.
Thank you. Nikki, go ahead, you want to lead?
Hey, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I just have a question. So you made the changes, obviously, your website's marketing, but can you just tell me, I guess, my biggest question is understanding what our statutes are, what our rules are, and being in compliance there as a CBT. Is there, can you tell me like your understanding and what?
Right, yeah, so there are four things that vet techs can't do. Prognosing, which is where I got kind of caught up on last time. I kind of conflated that with diagnosing, so I wasn't offering to diagnose anything in my mind. So prognosing, diagnosing, prescribing, and performing surgery.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else has any other questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Would you please submit to the office the corrected advertisement? Because the one we have, the last one we have, still has
right.
some questionable things in it that supposedly was from October 19th to November the 1st.
Right, yes, I will. I just had it, they call me monthly to renew, so that call just came in on Monday. So once I have that publication, then I will send that
submit
to
the office.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
No other questions for me anyways, unless anybody else has anything.
I don't think so. You may step back.
Okay,
thank you.
So obviously the information that was provided to us was the marketing materials. We don't have any information on specific pets. And at least from what we've seen, what I've heard, I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Okay.
Second.
And a second to dismiss case 2427. Are there any other comments? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, now on to number 8, 2438, in regards to Audie Wood, DVM. Tracy, if you could read the front load.
So case 2438, Audie Wood, DVM. The complainant is Ms. Sandra Benhoff, and the respondent is Audie Wood, DVM. The complainant is a former employee and expressed concerns with respondent's conduct while in her employ. The concerns were that the complainant was requested to administer rabies vaccines to pets without veterinary supervision, witnessed rabies vaccines being administered to pets without veterinary supervision, technical staff were performing euthanasia procedures after a veterinarian would calculate the dose. Respondent routinely leaves controlled substances in an unlocked cabinet. Boarding animals are not always kept in their own individual cage, rabies vaccine protocols, and concerns with the sterility of surgical procedures. And this case did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought straight to the board for your review and consideration.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. Dr. Wood, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here. I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
I'm not sure if Did everybody read the response or do I
yes,
need to?
Yes, we have all those materials.
I just believe she's a disgruntled employee. These allegations are, I really don't quite understand what she's even implying. We follow the rabies protocol. We follow, you know, other people can administer controlled drugs under the supervision. There's never a time when there's not a doctor on the premise. So her allegations, I believe she's just disgruntled and finding complaints and causing trouble. She was hired on as a dog walker. I don't know how she can evaluate our surgical protocol. So the allegations in my mind are irrelevant and insignificant. We follow standard protocol, sterile procedures, rabies, whatever else she, I don't even understand what her, she says we don't house family pets together. I don't know what that means. Families want to be together. So we'd have to contact the other boarding girl to find, I don't even know what her complaint is.
Okay.
So, and it's, they're pretty much itemized in my response, so.
Okay, thank you.
Don't know how else to respond. We do everything standardly.
Okay.
And how she can evaluate when she's a dog walker, I don't understand.
Thank you. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead?
I am. So we're good there.
Okay,
right?
You can go ahead and step back. Thank you.
I did get to read the complaint that was submitted, and obviously the response, and I could definitely see where there was she said, she said, and you know, certainly people can get disgruntled after the fact. So that I understood. We did get some updated information on the IDR. Did everybody get to read that?
Yes.
So there was another former employee that was spoke, that there was a conversation with, who had been there for quite a period of time, who did work in a role where there were some comments that got me concerned, where originally I was like, no, you know, some of those things don't match. And then we did happen to have a premise inspection that kind of matched some of those concerns. So I guess at this point, I would like to have more information. I would like to know if we can, what our abilities are, and maybe this is more for you, Mark, is if we can talk to current team members or, you know, other team members and maybe do a little bit of a deeper dive on the premise inspection. Again, I don't know where that falls, especially in relation to the workload on board staff, but also I would have questions for Dr. Wood too, more specifically, that wouldn't be appropriate right now. So that's where I'm going, is I kind of feel like there's just more information to find out. And again, I do understand that there can be disgruntled team members, but some of these things are matching up, and they may be things that should clearly be fixed, but that's to dig into a little more.
Madam Chair, Ms. Ross, members of the board, I believe you obviously have the option to move the case to an informal. Upon the board's direction, board staff could conduct another premises inspection, as well as attempt to talk to other team members at that time.
Do the informal process? Or
we could do the interview, we could do the inspection interviews prior to the informal, so that you have that information at the informal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be the appropriate steps. And the only question is, do you want to review those,
yes,
the updated information prior to making the decision to move this forward, or do you want to do both? Because you mentioned you did have questions.
Yeah. Does anybody have any thoughts there? If we'd want to review that and those findings before we decide if we're moving to an informal?
You're still going to want to talk to the respondent.
Right. I think we just moved to an informal, but I would still like to read that before the informal.
For sure.
Okay. And then typically the informal seems to fall the next month. Would it be appropriate to give us a little bit more time and move it to the following month, just so that we have, you have time to collect the information, we have time to review it?
Madam Chair, Ms. Frost, we could talk about that internally and decide how scheduling would work. We would want to try to do it as soon as possible, and if we can't.
Okay. All right. Then I would make a motion to move this to an informal and collect more information.
Second.
Okay.
And a motion. I was just going to comment that if you go back out to do the inspection and talk to associates, that we target some of the questions that were highlighted as far as potentially consistent between the different employees, to see if that's, like, those are the areas that I was most concerned.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we have a motion and a second to move case 2438 to an informal. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for being here. Okay, now we're going to number 10, which is 2442, in regards to Natalie Schuster, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Yes, case 2442. The complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Natalie Schuster, DVM. On September 20th, 2023, the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board opened an investigation with respect to respondent's conduct as responsible veterinarian for Nikki's Place Incorporated. After reviewing the information received with respect to the premises owner, a non-licensed individual, the board expressed concerns with adequate supervision over the procurement of controlled substances and logging processes at the premises. This matter did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought straight to you for your review and consideration.
Okay. Thank you. And Dr. Schuster, you're here. Thanks for being here today. I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay. So this is a bit of a surprise. The DEA came in to investigate because there was tramadol that had been ordered, a large quantity of tramadol at our clinic, which we do not use, dispense, or prescribe at the clinic. So we have records for the drugs that we use in the clinic. The clinic owner is not a veterinarian. She is the one who, excuse me, does all the purchasing. And so she had purchased these medications and taken them the after hours to her home without our knowledge. So the DEA came in, they investigated, we came to a solution where we got a new safe with a different key. The doctor does all the ordering of the drugs, and she's not allowed near the log books, near the drugs, any of it, and they were happy with that solution.
Okay, thank you. You can step back and
just for clarification, you're no longer the responsible veterinarian for the record?
Correct.
Okay. But you were at the time.
I was at the time, correct. And so we went through this and I came in on a Monday, which I don't typically work Mondays, and the staff informed me that the Friday before she had ordered a different substance that was not controlled, that was also not prescribed, or the medication used in the clinic. And I confronted her about it. She said, yes, I did this, and I left because I can't trust her and can't trust this whole situation, basically, for her to be ordering things and be putting her business at risk, putting my license at risk, putting us all at risk, so.
I'm sorry, can you speak up, please?
I'm sorry, I left.
You left the practice.
I left the practice completely,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You can step back. I would like to ask everybody to speak up a little bit too. I'm hearing that some people aren't able to hear very well, so.
Yes.
So go ahead, Ms. Solomon, you're the lead.
Yes, a couple of concerns regarding this case. I wanted to confirm with Dr. Schuster that did you ever, I'm sorry, can you come back up?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. did you ever see the bottles of tramadol at all?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
So you don't know if Dr. Phillips' name was on them or whose name was on them?
Well, Dr. Phillip, his DEA license was the one she used to order. So I assume his name was on them, but
okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So my concern is that Dr. Schuster was the responsible veterinarian at the time, and as such was responsible for compliance of the premise with our state statutes and rules. So I see some potential violations as far as Dr. Phillips goes, I mean Dr. Schuster goes, and relating to handling management of controlled substances. The other thing is that the veterinarian that was warned by DEA is now the responsible veterinarian, if I understand correctly.
That's correct.
That's not part of the case.
Pardon?
That doesn't really affect this case.
Well, if there's going to be two motions. One is handling this case and one will be opening a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
So Jane, just so I understand
sure.
What you said, with regards to this case specifically, your concerns are around the policies and procedures that were in place?
Correct. The lack of
because I do think we need to take into account, and I just say this from having been in multiple different practice settings, you can have the best processes in the world and you're not going to fix an unethical employee mm-hmm. that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And they will figure out how to get around any practice protocol, whatever you have, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what the world that we live in. But mm-hmm. but I would want to make sure that we keep any of our judgments specific to protocols than not following or people being devious or things like that, because I just don't feel like we can hold people accountable to bad behavior of others.
Nobody would ever want to be a promise holder.
I'm sorry.
Just so you understand, Jane, when it comes to our administrative rules, there's the premise license holder responsibilities,
right.
But then they're also in this mix, you have to understand, is there is a DEA registrant.
Right.
And so whenever you look at our requirements to log controlled drugs and monitor those, that really does fall to the registrant because it's their drugs under them. So some practices, and a lot of corporations had gone this way, is that each veterinarian has their DEA registrant, and then they order substances under each of those veterinarians. And so in that regard, the premise license holder does not have oversight of those particular drugs. And the veterinarian is responsible for making sure that those are logged properly, so on and so forth. The other thing that is removed here that we probably need to consider is there's a business owner, and then there's the registrant, right? And then there's the premise license holder.
Mm-hmm.
And so where the premise license holder can comply with and must, right, our statutes and rules, not every single one goes to the premise license holder, if that makes sense. That's why most cases are with the veterinarian who is on the case, or in that situation, not always the premise license holder. And so I think that there may need to be some discussion about what rules or what statutes you're concerned about so that we can ask for legal advice on
sure.
if that applies.
Sure.
Because what I'm seeing, at least from where I'm sitting, I don't know that she ever had a chance to make sure that this didn't happen in regard to it wasn't her DEA registration.
Right.
She has no ordering accounts under them. And that's where a veterinarian goes. That's where they fall. A premise license holder doesn't get to, I guess, say, what the business orders, per se. They don't get to say what the business orders.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Frost. Two points I would like to make is that that our statutes say require a licensed veterinarian or responsible veterinarian to comply with state and federal laws. What DEA has pointed out is there's some serious concerns about their compliance with federal laws for controlled drugs, and that's why the warning was issued.
To the registrant?
That was to the registrant, but they noted that DEA also noted that Nikki's Place failed to maintain a biennial inventory of controlled substances. In addition, the clinic failed to maintain effective controls and procedures, which are the responsibility of the responsible vet or premise license holder.
Back up on that one, sorry.
In addition, the clinic failed to maintain effective controls and procedures to guard against theft and diversion of controlled substances.
That does go to the registrant, though. The Controlled Substance Act is directing the registrant.
But it doesn't say the registrant. It says Nikki's Place,
right.
Which references the premise.
Right, but Nikki's Place.
So she can't control
Nikki's Place,
somebody else
and then registrant name. You can't control the organization LLC business.
I understand she can't control what a DEA registrant orders, but this deals with inventory and
inventory
controls and procedures.
But inventory falls to the registrant. Every controlled substance that is ordered is under the registrant. So, for example, in a practice, you may have a premise license holder, and then you may have a completely different veterinarian who the drugs are ordered under for administration and dispensing in that practice. That is the doctor who is ultimately going to be held accountable when it comes to federal law,
right,
that you just addressed. And then whenever it comes to our rules, it says these are all the things you must do. We've got to figure out who the person is that they're ordering them under. It might be under seven different veterinarians because each one has their own
sure.
drugs.
Yeah.
So I just think that I'm not understanding where you're going with this, because several of those things would be more about this other doctor. So I'm not sure where you've got a concern with her conduct.
The other doctor, or the DEA registrant, wasn't responsible for establishing the protocols for Nikki's place.
Agreed. But I guess I'm focused on this case right now.
Right.
The protocols.
I mean, things like, do you have a lockbox? Mm-hmm. Are your drugs in a lockbox?
Yes.
Are your drugs logged?
Yep.
Do you have logs that are kept up to date?
Yeah.
Do you have somebody that verifies the logs?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the protocols that a responsible veterinarian would be responsible for making sure we're in place.
When was that?
Does that make sense? Like.
Yes. Okay. But what I'm what I'm reading is that DEA found, and I recognize they are a federal agency, but they stated that the premise was lacking effective controls and procedures.
With controlled substances.
Correct.
Yes, which is under the registrant, the DEA registrant.
So if a responsible veterinarian, and here I'm sorry, I don't quite agree. If the responsible veterinarian doesn't have a DEA license, they're not responsible for.
No. The DEA registrant that the drugs were ordered under. So she may very well be a DEA registrant, but she didn't violate any federal issues. They didn't specifically name her, I'm guessing, in what you're reading, because I didn't see it.
No, referenced the premise thing.
They don't know, and I don't know if they dug this deep, how many different registrants were ordering drugs there. So they're saying there's a failure there. But it is the responsibility of the registrant.
Unless you can find that she.
So I think at this point, I think we've talked about it. If you want to make a case,
your position is that the responsible veterinarian is not responsible for protocols relating to controlled substances.
I didn't say that, and Dr. James just asked her all of the things that she should be responsible for and be aware of, and she answered all of the questions.
Can I ask staff a quick question? When was the last inspection of Nikki's place?
In 2020, January.
Okay. I'd like to move that we direct staff to do a re-inspection of Nikki's place.
But that wouldn't be under this case, so can we do this case first? Because she's not the responsible veterinarian.
Okay, then I see your point. Okay, so if we do, then I move we dismiss this case number 2442 for Dr. Schuster, dismissed with no violation.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 2442. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I have another motion to make, and I would move that we open a case against Dr. Phillips, who was then the DEA registrant and is now the responsible veterinarian.
Okay. The motion, is there a second to
second.
Open? Okay. Motion and a second to open a case against Dr. Phillips.
I'd like to amend that to add and request staff do an inspection of the premise.
Sure. Victoria has.
Madam Chair, members of the board. So since there a new premise license application has been submitted with Dr. Phillip as the responsible vet, we're required to conduct an inspection anyway, so one will occur.
Okay, great. Perfect. And I don't need to add that to the motion.
Okay. So again, we have a motion and a second to open a case against Dr. Phillips. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for being here.